Praise God. And so, in Luke chapter 17, we're going to read an account of 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, the scriptures tell us, and it came to pass, and he went, as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And they came, and it came to pass, as they went, they were what? Cleansed. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. Now, what was he doing? Amplified says it this way, he was thanking and praising God. That's glorifying God. He was thanking and praising God. And it says, and he, verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. So he fell down and gave, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now notice, he's almost asking a begging question. Where are the other 9 here? He said, but where are the 9? So he's expecting everybody to be appreciative and thankful and giving praise for what God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, had done for them. Amen. And there was not found that to return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has what? Has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. It's been said, you know, praise is the highest, one of the highest forms or types of faith. So you could say, how good is your praise and thanksgiving and worship life? That's kind of correlated to your faith life. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, again, I'm going to read it in a new translation, a new version. The Amplified, it says this, through him, therefore, let us continually and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Thankfully acknowledge. Amen. I know that was you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this thing. Remember, because we said we thank and praise God for things that he has done, what he's doing, and what he has promised that he will do. So we give him acknowledgement. Thank you, Lord. We give him appreciation. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? And then we confess and glorify his holy name. So, you know, people at work or people in the community, they see you say, thank you, Lord. They hear you say, praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So praise and worship point, PowerPoint number one. Real, genuine, and faith-filled thanksgiving, praise and worship has the power to heal. See, we saw the 10 leopards. And to make you completely whole. 9 were cleansed or healed, but 10 were made whole. 1 came back to, but see, the thanksgiving, praise, and worship, what? Have the power to heal and to make you completely whole. So if you're challenged with sickness or disease, the question, are you praising God enough? Are you giving him thanks for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he promised that he will do? Amen. Number 2, praise and worship, PowerPoint number 2. Praise is a cure for sickness, sadness, struggles and sorrow. Praise is a cure for sickness, sadness, struggles, and sorrows. See, the praise cure works every time. You praise him or God for his faithfulness to his word. Now listen to what Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman says in her book, His Healing Power. We've read it before, but it bears reading again. I'll read it again. It says, Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman says, as we can stand on God's words for salvation and healing after we've met God's condition and grounded every weapon of rebellion. I'm going to talk about that in a minute because I was praying and asking the Lord, what is that? And he was showing me what we got to lay down the weapons of rebellion, because that blocks the power inherent within our thanksgiving, praise, and worship. That blocks and stops the power. We got to ground every weapon of rebellion. Then she goes on to say, we can praise our way through to perfect manifested victory. Because our conditions, we stand on God's word. How? In faith, believing to receive and take delivery of our healing. Take delivery of our deliverance or breakthrough. So we're standing on the word in faith, and then we've made sure that we've grounded every weapon of rebellion, that we're not obstinate or opposed to God in any some kind of way, then we can praise our way to victory, to perfect manifested victory. And this is what she calls, she said, this is what I call the praise cure. It never fails when the praise is an outflow of a heart resting on God's unchanging word. Amen. Now, she gives a story, and we shared this before, but it bears repeating. There's a missionary to China staying at Mrs. Carrie Jude Montgomery's Beulah Heights in Oakland, California. She had the most wonderful healing of smallpox while on the field, she was on the mission field, by the application of the praise cure. Listen to this. She fearlessly nursed a sister missionary who had the same disease, though she had not been vaccinated, standing on God's promise that no plague should come nigh her dwelling. Then her very bad case of smallpox, that what was looked like to the doctors, came out all over her, and she didn't know what to do. So she asked the Lord. And he told her to sing and praise him for his faithfulness to his word. The Lord told her to use the praise cue to sing and praise him for his faithfulness to his word. They isolated her and told her to lie quiet. But she said, if I didn't praise God, the very stones would cry out. So she sang and sang and praised and praised. The doctor said he feared for her life and that the case was serious and awful complications threatened her. But she praised and praised and sang and sang. And he said it was evident she was evidently delirious, but that he had so little help that he couldn't restrain her. So she sang and sang and praised and praised. They told her if by any chance she recovered, she would be disfigured for life. And she sang and praised louder than ever. Notice she didn't slow down. She progressed. We talked about the progression of play. They asked, why do you pray so much? She answered, because I have so many pox on me. God showed me I must praise him for each one separately. And she kept right at it. Now notice how tenacious and how faithful and focused she was at praising God. She was tapping in to the power of praise and worship. She was tapping into the power. So the Lord showed her in a vision two baskets. One contained her praising, which was half full. The other, which was her testing, was full. The Lord told her the testing basket was like her disease, the smallpox, the confluent smallpox. He told her that the praise basket must be filled so that it would outbalance the other. So she kept at it. Her songs and shouts were so spirit-filled that they were contagious, and the Christian nurses couldn't resist joining in. So they kept the place ringing. At last, the Lord showed her that her praise basket was full. So the praise basket filled up and overflowing now. And she saw it sink and the testing basket rise in the air. And in a moment, it seems an eruption and all attendant symptoms vanished, leaving no trace in the way of so much as a single scar. Isn't that good? Amen. And so Dr. Lily Yeomans goes on to say, perhaps that may seem almost too much to believe to some, but I can furnish from my own personal experience a case where a smallpox eruption disappeared instantly in answer to believing prayer, listen to this, and the application of the praise cure. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Come on, let's just praise God for that right now. He's given us power in praise. He's given us power in worship. We thank you, Father God, that for the power, that power that's inherent in praise, worship, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So what are these weapons of rebellion? Because you got to lay those down. Now, we got some notes, points here for you to take if you're taking notes. First one is arrogance. Y'all know what that is. Being prideful. Being haughty. That's a weapon against receiving from God and receiving the things of the goodness of God. Arrogance is a bad deal. It's a weapon of rebellion. Number two, unrighteous or unresolved anger. So if you're mad, you know, again, we talked about it Sunday, who you mad at? You got to lay that anger down. Sunset rule. Amen. Don't keep your anger before the sun goes down. Oughts, having anything in your heart, anything against anyone. You can't have oughts in your heart. Anxieties. If you're worried about, see, because a lot of people are worried, really, friends, about getting the virus. And then they start worrying, they shift gears. If I get the virus, will I die? So they're anxious and afraid that they might get something. That's fear-based. That's fear behavior. And that's not of God. That's a weapon of rebellion. Amen. And then number five, ungodly associations. So I've got five listed. I believe the Lord gave them to me. The Holy Spirit gave them to me this morning. Arrogance, anger, thoughts, anxiety, and ungodly association. What is that? He said it to me this way, and I laughed. He said, those are doubters, pouters, and fire putter outers. Everybody say it with me. Doubters, pouters, and fire putter outers. I know that's not a real word, but I just put some words. Some people that put your fire out. Amen. Psalms 137 verse 4 says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So when people take you out of your place of continual thanksgiving, continual praise, a worship lifestyle, when they pull you into a place where you're worrying, where you're fussing, where you're pouting, because some people got real good, even Christians, like real good at pouting. Don't hang around doubters and don't pet pouters. And stay far away from those that are fire putter outers. I know that doesn't make sense, that phrase. But you got to understand, here, They were saying this: how can we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land? You're wired for love. You're wired to praise and created to praise and worship God. You've been made a king, but also a priest unto the Most High God. And so praise is a normalcy to you. It is a normal way of living. You are wired to give thanks and give praise acceptable to God through your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have priestly anointing on you. So when you hang around doubters and pouters and fire put outers, they will take you out of your place as a king and a priest, and a place that where you offer praise and glory and honor to God through your lips and through your life. You always notice when people get in doubt, sin, or Satan enters in, they don't feel like and never desire to thank God and praise God and worship God. And they're looking all hard and mean, and they're talking about all the facts, all the figures, and all the feelings that they're experiencing. You might start sniffing a little bit and start looking around and say, are you a doubter? Are you a pouter? Are you a fire putter outer? Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, to change who you are, because you have to change who you're with. To change who you are, you have to change who you're with. You hanging around people that doubt and are skeptics and critics about everything, guess what you're going to become? A skeptic and critic. If you're hanging around people who are always pouting and puffed up because they always got some chip on their shoulder or some victim news report to give you that, you know, how they've been done wrong or done bad, and they always trying to put your fire out, you come in coming out of the presence of God, and they say, wait, let me just put a wet blanket on you because I need to tell you all my bad stuff. Let me just throw up on you. Some people are like fire extinguishers. They get around you, and they'll put your fire out. Well, praise the Lord. Listen to this in Psalms 8, verse 2. So you got to ground all those weapons. You got to ground those bad, ungodly associations. Psalms 8, verse 2. The Passion Translation, so powerful. I like this. You have built a stronghold by the songs of babies. Strength rises up within the chorus of singing. Why do we have song service? Why do we have singing in the church? Because strength rises up with the chorus of singing. Children, we're children of God, right? Amen. We qualify for this. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship, listen to this, will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. So the point number three, praise and worship, power point number three, there is strength and power in praise. There is strength and power in praise. So you don't have to stay bound to fear, dread, or worry. You can rejoice, confessing, and praising God is simply agreeing and aligning with him. So we're singing about greater than. We just sung that song. Man, you're confessing with your lips, and you're agreeing with your heart. Greater than the mountains that's in front of me. So you're telling the mountains, you're not greater than my God. Mountains just represent something big, large, or seemingly impossible, immovable to you. And so you are magnifying God above and against that mountain through your praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the example of this was, you know, like we shared before, Brother Copeland was dealing with really bad depression and discouragement. You know, to where you get those thoughts where I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. When who's that coming from? Where's that coming from? See, the enemy If he oppresses you, he will depress you. Well, let's say it the way. Okay, thank you, Lord, for correcting it. He depresses you so that he can oppress you. He depresses you so he can oppress you. And so he got instruction from the Lord, just like this lady with the smallpox. She said what? He said, the Lord told him, tell the devil to leave you now, leave me now, and then shout and praise and give thanks. So he said it real loud. Satan, leave me. He said, I felt so heavy. It felt like the whole world was darkening around me. He said, Satan, leave me now. And then he shouted, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. And that cloud, that heaviness, remember the garment of praise, Isaiah 61:3, the garment of praise is for what? The spirit of heaviness. What is the spirit of heaviness? It is depression and discouragement. Praise the Lord. All right. Brother Hagin needed strength when he was doing, got up out of bed sickness. He was doing a job picking up peach trees or cherry trees, one of those trees, peach trees, I believe. And but he prayed and thanked God based on Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. So he said, Lord, you are. You're not were, because some people always look at were. But faith is now, right? So he said, you are the strength of my life. So he received that supernatural strength from heaven by faith first. And then when he said he stooped to reach that first cherry tree, he said his legs were stiff, his back was stiff, his arms were throbbing in pain from the previous day's work. But he said, as soon as I stooped over to reach for that first peach tree, that strength came on him. See, it's by faith first, then we feel it. See, this is the strength and praise. We do it by faith first, and then we feel it. Feelings follow our faith. Hallelujah. A woman got real good with doing it over her kids because she had learned and was taught by the Holy Spirit. He said, you don't have to run in and put cold towels and kind of mother hen your kids when they get sick and you have to be there and worry yourself. He said, stop, don't do that. She said the Holy Spirit told her, just praise me. Don't even put your hands on. Just praise me. Because praise is a weapon. Praise is a cure, but praise is also a weapon. So every time, she said, every time, and she told Brother Hagin, every time my kids get sick, I just go shouting and praising right in the devil's face in front of my kids. I just start shouting and praising God, glory to God, hallelujah. And she said she would sense the fever or whatever symptoms lift right off of. There is strength in praise, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. Are y'all getting encouraged and fired up about this? Amen. So you don't have to just go run to the rescue. Some of us need to retire our rescue uniform. Because we're running to the rescue of our kids a lot of times. Just get to praising God. He's big enough to handle the kids. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going. Point number four, praise and worship, PowerPoint number four. There is silencing and muzzling effect on the loud noise, the news, the negativity, and the ungodly nuisances of the and evil narratives of the enemy through praise and worship. Remember, we just read it in Psalms 8. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. See, Satan's trying to amplify the pain, amplify the problem, amplify the people, the negative people, the nuisance people, and amplify the pressure. He's amplifying the predicament you're in. He's amplifying it. And so you have to shut him down and shut his mouth. So in other words, you silence him, or you muzzle him, or you put the devil on mute, just like you do your TV. Let's mute the volume control. Praise affords you and gives you the ability to shut Satan's mouth. Then some of us can go to sleep a lot better, because you don't have the noise going on in your soul. You don't have him playing nuisance with your mind, telling you, what are you going to do about that? 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 Mute. Devil, I'm putting a mask, but you won't be able to breathe or talk over the mask I put over you. I mean, you just love to mask the devil when he gets real noisy in your soul. Praise God. You should. Praise God. Point number five. Y'all good? Everybody good? Praise and worship can bring about the sudden and immediate supernatural deliverance and breakthroughs. Now let's look at this in Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 25 and 26. Acts 16, verse 25 and 26. Look at this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing? What were they doing? Praying and what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, again, they weren't trying to be silenced. They were vocalizing their praise and their prayers. Their prayers and their praises. Most people will like to vocalize their pains and their problems. When it's the darkest time or season of our lives, what do we need to be vocalizing? Our prayers and our praises. Now let's see what happened. Verse 26. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. So praise and worship can bring about sudden and immediate. Look at this. There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately, everybody say immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Wow. Everybody said there's power in praise. Now, so here's some other lessons we need to learn from this account, just the account. Because remember, they were beaten and imprisoned unjustifiably. You know, being a Roman citizen, they shouldn't have got beaten publicly. They shouldn't have gone to prison without a fair trial. So they were violated in their rights. But they didn't complain. They weren't down there fussing about, how did we end up getting this? And they didn't get angry or arrogant about how wrong they had been treated. What's the lessons here? Number one, your voice is your address in the spirit. There's no other voice like your voice. So God will go wherever you're at. Because David said this, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. How does he locate you? Your voice. And it's your voice that will bring you your victory through praise and through worship and through giving of thanks. It's your voice that will bring you victory. And so God will land on your voice, because your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now notice lesson number two. Paul and Silas didn't respond religiously or legalistically. How was that? Because they weren't trying to figure out why God let them get beat. Some people would have called a committee meeting, called all their companions and said, look what happened to me. Because they're trying to invariably blame God or explain why God allowed, try to figure out how God allowed me to go through this. Why would God bring this to America, COVID-19? Why would this stuff be happening right now? How did they get away with this? They weren't trying to find out why God let them get beat, whipped, or chained wrongfully in prison. They responded to the trial and trouble in faith. What do we need to learn today, tonight? Get this, ladies. Get it. Put it in your heart and remember it always in your mind. Your first response should be, it's highly recommended that it should be a response of faith. Not a response of fear, not a response of how you feel. It's a response of faith. Remember, their backs were beaten and they were bleeding and they were in the inner prison. In other words, the worst part of the prison, which was a sewer cellar or sewer hole under the leader's prison, their castle. They were in the toilet, basically. But they weren't responding out of feelings. They weren't responding out of frustration. We have to get that. We can't respond with our feelings. We have to respond first and foremost with our faith. Amen. The first response of our faith should be to resist the fear. Fret. Refuse to get furious in the flesh. I mean angry at God and other people. Because you know how it is. People sometimes have misguided anger. Just like they don't have any grip on their gun. They're just shooting all over the place. Scattergun. I'm mad. I'm just hitting everybody. And then frustration. How were they doing? They were rejoicing, thanking the Lord, and praising him for his faithfulness to save, heal, deliver, rescue, and restore. And then what happened? Suddenly. And immediately. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's the third lesson we learned? We don't see them complaining and wondering if God really told them to go there. And some people, you know, unfortunately, my goodness, some people complain, well, did God really tell me to go to that church service tonight or go there or serve in the kingdom? Did God really tell me to serve? Because I've heard people say over the years, you know, I start serving and stuff start happening. Satan got busy trying to buffet against me. Maybe I'm trying to figure out if God really told me to do it, because some people think and believe the lie that if you're in faith, you'll never have any problems. If you're in faith, you'll never have any pressure or you'll never have any predicaments that come against you. And we said it before time and time again. I'll say it again. There is no such thing as unchallenged faith. The first sign that you're really in faith is really your discomfort. Now, the American dream always tells us, get comfortable. Stay casual. That's why we have 500 channels of TV. That's why we have all these apps on our phone. Why? It's to help us stay comfortable and help us stay casual. And stay out of conflicts. And so when we think we're conflicts, we think, well, we must be out of the will of God. But they weren't asking or speaking those words. The horrible things that happened to them, they weren't complaining about. If you complain, listen to me, this is lesson number three. If you complain, you will remain. But if you praise, you'll be raised. We got to get that. If you complain, you'll remain, but if you praise, you'll be raised. Lesson number four, the depth of your praise determines the magnitude and measure of your breakthrough. What were they doing? They were praying and singing praise and hymns to God. The depth of your praise determines the magnitude of your and measure of your breakthrough. Your celebration, friends, is a demonstration of your faith's expectation. Your celebration is a demonstration of your faith's expectation. Somebody say glory to God. Come on, just lift your hands and thank him right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, God really wants to sometimes see, are you really expecting? Because see, the Bible didn't say that those prisoners overheard them. It said they were listening and heard them. That means they weren't ashamed to lift their hands. They weren't ashamed to say hallelujah. They weren't ashamed to get, start shouting while the walls are still standing. while the prison shackles were still on their hands. They weren't ashamed, come on now, to sing the songs of the church and the songs of victory and the songs of triumphs of Christ and sing about the faithfulness of God. They weren't ashamed to praise his name in public. Hallelujah. Number five, lesson number five. What do we get from this account? These two verses are packed full of powerful principles for and lessons for praise and worship. Listen, Paul and Silas prayed in faith, and they sang praises in faith. Because you know they weren't feeling it after they've gotten beat and stripped. And it's dark, and it's dank, and it's dirty down there. And they did not utter one complaint. So they had to pray in faith because they certainly didn't feel like it. They had to sing in faith. So what do we take away from that? We, at times, when it's really difficult, when it's really dark, in a season of our life, we have to pray in faith. We have to sing and praise in faith. See, an effective prayer and an effectual praise brings and invites God right into our present circumstances. Like we said, praise builds the house, and worship is when God shows up in the house. Praise God. See, you want God to come into your life daily circumstances by you praising him. You're saying, God, you're inviting. And like Brother Steve, open up. The welcome, Lord. You're welcome, Lord. You see this sign right here? I'm praising you. You're welcome right here, right now, in my space and in my place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith rejoices. Now, I want you to see this. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 9, in this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while. We all familiar with the little whiles. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We've all been there. We've all got the T-shirts. And while we're still alive, we'll still get new T-shirts that says, we survived 2021. Some of us are on the monthly, weekly level. We survived January 2021. That the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what's more important to God sometimes may not be a priority important to us. So our faith is under trial. Our faith is being tested. But he says, you won't grow and you won't progress until you pass the tests. So God looks at your problem as your potential promotion. We look at our problem as a big problem. And so what happens? Our perspectives are differing from God because we think, oh, my God, this is horrible. Please take this out of my life. Please send me the money right now. Please heal my body today. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. I'm having fun up here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, our perspective needs to get lined up with God because, see, worship, we said, helps you to zoom out of what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your circumstances, because sometimes we go in it and we feel grievous, and the devil says, what's wrong with you? And he gets in your chorus and starts singing a chorus, what are you going to do now? 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 You can't go to sleep because you got to figure it out. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Hallelujah. Y'all, anybody familiar with what I'm talking about? And then you wallow in listening to the devil's news. But he said, if you're grievous, he said, you got to think, if I'm in this, Father, you're in this with me because you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I thank you for never leaving or forsake me. Come on now. If you said in your word that there's no temptation, test, or trial that has taken me that such is common to man. So this is not uncommon. This is not strange. This is common to every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. So I thank you that you hadn't put too much for me to handle. And if I'm in this, dear Father God, I thank you, Father God, you said that I'm able to bear it because you wouldn't let me go through anything or experience anything that I'm not able to handle. So if I'm in this thing, I thank you, Father God, that you've engineered and wired me to handle this. Praise God. And I'll go through this by victory. Now, this is doing it in advance by faith, not by sight and feelings and how things appear. Y'all getting something out of this? Tested by fire, be found to praise, honor, and glory God, the revelation, at whom have not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with what? Yet believing you what? Rejoice. Yet believing you what? Rejoice. First response. Yet believing you do what? Rejoice. Step one, rejoice. Rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So point number six is this. The bridge between believing and receiving is rejoicing. How do you go from believing to receiving? Rejoicing. See, when we stop rejoicing, we stop receiving. When we stop rejoicing, we stop receiving. Point number seven. PowerPoint, praise and worship, PowerPoint number seven. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt does what? How can you locate yourself and locate people in your circle of influence when they come to you as a doubter, as a powder, as a fire putter outer? they come into your life experience as a doubter and they start complaining and they got that sad look on their face. Hallelujah. And you know that's doubt. And doubt is an enemy of God's greatest blessings and breakthroughs in your life. Listen to me. I say it again. Doubt is an enemy of God's blessings and breakthroughs in your life. You think he's just going to let the devil take over the world and take over your world? Don't give him doubt because you'll keep God out. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Philippians 3:1-3 says, "But finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write to you the same thing is not tedious, but for you it is safe." This is safe, what we're telling you, because some of us heard these things before. Beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of mutilation. That means people that are doubters, are powders, are fire putter outers. Amen. Praise. I like that word. Praise. Anyway. For we are the circumcision who worship God. Who do what? Who worship God in the spirit. Rejoice in who? Christ Jesus. Some people misinterpret and think, rejoice in the crisis. No, you who do you rejoice in? You rejoice in the anointed Jesus, who's anointed to give you an experience of victory. Perfect manifested victory. Praise God. You rejoice in the fact that he rose and you will rise up over this situation. Come on. He overcame and you will overcome every situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. You rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's that arrogance. That's that weapon of rebellion. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice where? In the Lord. Again, always rejoice in the Lord, always. It didn't say rejoice in the problem, rejoice in the pain. It said rejoice in the Lord. His victory, his triumph, his blessings, his benefits from his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. He is Lord. You rejoice in the fact that Jesus is Lord. You just totaled your car or something happened bad to your house. You say, Jesus is Lord. He said, again, I say, what? Rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Rejoice how? Always. So if you're in faith, you rejoice. Now, very simple. I know it sounds real profound, but very simple. The opposite is true, too. When you're not in faith, you don't rejoice. Faith rejoices. So you could measure and monitor your praise and worship life by your rejoicing. Now remember, David measured his. It's in the scripture. Seven times a day do I praise and do I thank your holy name. Seven times. So we know David kept track of how many times a day, even in the busyness of being a king over a million plus people and having all these responsibilities and all those, he had two wives and two children. His brother was busy. Amen. And so he had all these responsibilities, but he said seven times a day. Sound like David knew what he was doing. David had his priorities, right? Amen. Praise God. He is Lord. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing in everything. Now, it didn't say for, but it said in everything. Give what? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus you. So there's no place, as we said, between being thankful and being unthankful. You either are or you're not. He said, in everything, what? Yeah, give what? Sit down to eat breakfast. Give thanks. You're doing chores around the house. You what? Give thanks. Because you could be an invalid. You could be a paraplegic. You can be a point where you can't move your limbs, the vacuum cleaner. But you're fussing while you're vacuuming. You're fussing while you're doing the dishes. You're fussing while you're taking the garbage out. In everything, what? Give thanks. Amen. You having to stand in line or get blocked up in traffic. In everything, give thanks. Thank you that I got a car to drive. Thank you that I don't have mechanical failure. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in an accident. Praise God. In everything, give thanks. You're at a long line. There's 10 people in front of you, and you're wondering, and your thought comes from the devil to get you to start complaining. Why don't they open up more lines? Why don't they add more cashiers? See, some of us practice complaining more than we think we do. We're in HEB. We need to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the resources and the means to buy groceries. Thank you for the food that you enabled me to buy for my table. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to go get fresh, somewhat protected food that I can eat to the nourishment of my body. Well, it depends on if you buy, you know, sometimes I slip and buy junk. But anyway, so that's just a tell-on-me statement. Praise God. That's a tell-on-me. So anyway, but praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. You give thanks to the Lord for being able to go to the grocery store. And don't drive into the gas station and look at the price. Oh, it went up 5 cents. Start grumbling. Went up 10 cents. Why did it go up so much? No, you give thanks that you have the resources and means to fill up your car with gas. Somebody say glory to God. In everything, give thanks. Are y'all seeing the practicality of this, of implementing this power? Okay, all right. Let's keep going. So, see, he is Lord of your life. This is what these three verses kind of should convey to us. A wicked vice, a evil villain, or a deadly virus is not Lord over your life. Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. That's why you rejoice in the Lord. That's why you pray without ceasing. That's why in everything you give thanks. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is why you rejoice, praise and give thanks. So a scriptural reminder for us, how often should we praise the Lord? Psalms 113:3 says, from the rising of the sun, when you wake up, until the going down of the same, when you're going to bed, the Lord's name is to be praised. So start practicing waking up and going to bed, giving thanks, giving, and giving praise. Let the Lord be the first one you talk to, and the Lord be the last one you utter your breaths and praises of adoration to at night. This is good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You start bookending your day, you won't be having these nightmares. You won't be having this restless sleep. You won't be carrying all that worry and woes and wickedness in your mind. Stop watching all that junk on TV. Amen. Don't be the last thing because you're ignoring the Lord. Praise God. Praise is the easiest way to remove mountains and overcome difficulties. Praise will get your eyes off the conflict and onto the champion and the conqueror. Praise lifts us up to another dimension of God's grace where our attention is not focused on the dilemma, but on the deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in praise and worship. Praise helps us keep the flesh in check. Praising God helps us overcome negative emotions that may try to dominate us. Praising God helps our spirits stay in control instead of our flesh and our emotions taking over and dominating us. Praising God in the midst of any situation encourages our faith and causes us to be able to rise above any situation or circumstances, no matter what it is. Praising God in the midst. That's where the real power needs to be tapped into. And you're in the midst of a financial crisis, you should turn the volume and the frequency, that means how many times, of your praise and worship up. Turn the volume, that means you're vocalizing, and the frequency, how many times, of your praise and worship should get turned up in the midst of your situation. Amen. And so it causes you to rise above the situation and circumstance, no matter what it is. Praise and worship keeps us from getting ensnared in the complexities of the problem and helps us get caught up in God instead. So you get into his presence. See, God's manifested presence is our aim and goal of praise and worship. God's presence brings blessings. God's presence brings blessings. Amen. Psalms 65:4, what joy for those who choose to bring near those who live in your holy courts. What festivities await us inside your holy temple. That's where the excitement comes when you get excited about going to church, because now I get to I've been doing private praise sessions at home, so now I get to come to church and get into corporate praise services and church. Amen. Well, we get excited just to praise and thank and bless the Lord. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to grow. It brings blessings, because when you're blessed by his presence, man, everybody else gets blessed by his presence being upon your life and on your countenance. Amen. You don't look like the first church of the frozen sons chosen. Amen. Praise God's presence attracts the right people. People are attracted to us because they are attached to God. Our lives should be distinguished because God hangs out with us. Not for what we have or what we can do. With God, when God is with us, people are drawn to us and they don't know why. Now, again, in Exodus, I'll read that real quick. Exodus, as we're closing, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Now, verse number 15 and 16. And he said to them, if thy presence, that Moses is talking to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. We want God's presence to go with us every time we have church. Amen. Everywhere you're sent on an assignment and a mandate, a mission by God, your presence has to go with me. Look at this. For wherein there should I know that here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. It is not that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated. and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What's the distinguishing difference between Christianity or church, a gospel-believing, Bible-believing church? The presence of God. Nothing else. Everything else is just social club and nice teaching lessons. We want the presence and the power of God to manifest in our lives, all right? God's presence brings power. Now, I'm going to forego reading that, but in Psalms 91, verse 9 through 16, it talks about the attributes of God's power and protection and provision over our lives. Psalms 91, verse 9 through 16, you can read it in your own time. But God's presence protects us and gives us security. God takes dominion over our environment in the context of those scriptures. God disarms Satan's distracting, disrupting, and discouraging thoughts in our mind. God disarms Satan. Satan's distracting, disrupting, and discouraging thoughts in our mind. And again, he says in Psalm 9 that when we will trample on serpents and scorpions, and the lung, that was a symbolic of the devil and demons, evil spirit, and the young lion we will trample under our feet. Satan is like a roaring lion. So we're trampling over all the evil works and the wicked thoughts of the enemy when we're in God's shelter of protection and his abiding presence. Amen. Amen. Are you, see, the devil either makes us, we said, bad or busy. So we then, because he made us bad or busy, he influenced us to get bad or too busy, we make ourselves unavailable to God. So God said, are you going to let me in? Are you going to invite me in? Or like Brother Steve, are you welcome, Lord? Am I welcome here? And he said, God, I'm unavailable right now. God even tried to call your phone. I'm not available to answer your call right now. That's sometimes so rude, but, you know, you know, some people, the way people leave a message, but put a message thing up there. But they're unavailable. But see, we make ourselves unavailable to God. Or uncomfortable in praise and worship. Why? Because we've been unavailable between the worship services to God. So when we come to church, everything's all foreign. Everything's not familiar with you. You're not familiar with the presence of God. In other words, Satan does all he can to keep God's power and authority from showing up in our lives. Because it will show up in your public life if it's not there in your private life. Praise in your everyday life protects you by disarming Satan before his assaults gain momentum. Now, we've said this before. I'll say it again. Thank you for letting me really lay this out for you tonight. The devil never takes a day off. So if you don't deal with him every day, then Satan is going to have his way in what you think, how you act, and what you say. He becomes confused. You become confused and think something is wrong with him because your praise in difficult circumstances makes no sense to him. See, you confuse. See, when you praise him every day, Satan gets confused and thinks something's wrong with you. Why do you praise in the difficult circumstances? It makes no sense. Like we said, Kenneth Hagin said, I do most of my rejoicing and praising during the most difficult and dark seasons of my life. Why? Because you know God's going to vindicate him and God's going to give the victory to him. Praise God. See, the power and praise and worship begins with thanksgiving and takes you into God's presence. You stop the enemy in his tracks and you take the spoils of his warfare right from his hands. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 if you want a reference for that. Every evil spirit, every disease, every fear, every bout of depression, every seed of bitterness must flee when God's presence comes because he puts our enemies under our feet. Praise God. Just stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet and just put him under your feet with your praise right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you. Praise your holy name.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.